There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. TJ Inman, our co-host, will be along here shortly. We'll also have guests from HoosierHuddle.com, David Sugarman and Alex Compton on. Today we are previewing spring practice. We're going to go position by position to go through, what we expect, position battles we're watching, things that fans need to or should look out for, and questions that they may have on Indiana heading into spring practice. I do want to thank everybody who has donated so far to our GoFundMe campaign. We have had over $440 worth of new donations since we started that campaign. So thank you. Our Amazon ad is doing well as well. So if you don't have the extra money to donate to GoFundMe, but do purchase, your household needs or things that you need off of Amazon, please buy it through our Amazon ad. It's free to the buyer, and we get a referral bonus from Amazon on your purchases. So I just want to thank Hoosier Nation. Has been very generous with that. But without further ado, we'll start talking about Indiana football. TJ, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Sammy. Excited to talk about the spring. I know we have a packed podcast, and I'm very pleased to have Alex and David on. They've both been doing a great job for us, and it's going to be fun to talk about each position group, kind of dive down in general, just so that we can give fans kind of an idea of things to just as they're reading practice reports or reading comments from coaches, hopefully the information that we're giving today will kind of give people a little bit of a guideline for each position for things they can sort of watch for, maybe read between the lines a little bit, and just provide a bit more context as we head into spring.
Definitely, and let's start quickly. David Sugarman will be joining us in about 10 minutes. But let's start with the preview you wrote with the running backs. Indiana's going to have to replace another 1,000-yard rusher in Devine Redding, but it seems like they have the horses to do that with, the legend of Kameon Patrick penciled in to be the starter if he's healthy. I think this spring, hopefully he's healthy to go this spring and ready to go 100%. It looks and sounds like he will be, I think. But what are you looking for from Kameon Patrick to really help solidify both his perceived legend and then, going forward to make up for the loss of Devine Redding?
Devine Redding, just a word, if I were describing him in a word, I would say solid. A person taking a pessimistic view of what he brought could make an argument and say Devine Redding was replacement level back, just a guy, just another guy within Indiana's system that, given enough carries, was able to reach 1,000 yards. I think that'd be a bit harsh, but I do understand how someone could make that argument. So, turning it forward to 2017 and looking at IU's backfield, it really does hinge on Kameon Patrick if he can be the kind of, if you're going by replacement level, if he can be that above replacement level, be that difference maker, then you're looking at an entirely different running game than what you had in 2016. Things we're looking for in the spring, from him. Number one, it's going to be help, trust with his knee, trust making cuts, you know, trust turning up field and turning the burst on, and then, you know, the ability to have that next level of speed and breakaway. I feel pretty good about his ability to run the ball in between the tackles. I know he does not have a ton of experience as a running back, but I think, you know, given enough time and preparation, knowing that this was going to be his role, I do think that you'll see him adjust pretty quickly to being a running back versus a wide receiver. He does have some experience carrying the ball in the past, so it's, I don't think that that will be a big change for him, but you're looking for his ability to turn, you know, a 5 or 10 yard gain into a 50 yard gain, something that I use running game was sorely lacking last season, with the exception of really Xander Diamond. So I'm interested to see that. The biggest thing for Kamion is just going to be getting out there, getting reps, and staying healthy, looking towards fall camp. I think if he does those things, he is going to be the number one back. You know, behind him, I think you kind of have a interesting battle for kind of that second back, and then, you know, on down the rotation. Everything's wide open after that. Cole Guest, Mike Majette, Devontae Williams, Tyler Natee, Ricky Brookins, Alex Rodriguez, you know, a lot of names, a lot of bodies, a lot of differing skill sets that it's going to be very interesting to see, number one, how those guys are viewed by the new offensive coaching staff, and number two, what those views mean for those players in terms of how they're going to be utilized. We talked a lot about this season about kind of being a little bit frustrated with how particularly Mike Majette and Devontae Williams were used, not getting them onto the edge enough and getting them in space and giving them the ability to kind of use their speed to IU's offensive advantage. The lack of big plays, you know, it shouldn't have been that way nearly as much as it was. It just didn't seem like they tried all that hard to get Williams or Majette the ball out in space, and especially Majette, bursts of it, struggled again to stay healthy, so it's important for him to get healthy. And then Cole Guest, a limited sample size, but, you know, we both liked what we saw from him. I think he, for me, he's the favorite to be that second back when the season does open up. I really like how hard he hits the hole, very urgent runner. Could do with perhaps a little bit more patience, but, you know, I'm not going to slow a guy down. The urgency that he hits the hole with, I felt there was a level of excitement every time he touched the ball that wasn't there with Devine Redding. And then Tyler Natee, a guy that Natee's going to be very interesting, as I mentioned, see how the coaching staff use him and how they want to use him. I doubt that we see very much of a, you know, breaking out of the bacon and legs package. They're not going to unveil plans for anything like that just yet, I would imagine. But it'll be interesting to see, do they view him as just a traditional big back that they use in short yardage or goal line? Do they have other plans for him? Do they have, you know, plans to make him more of an emphasis? Physically, where's he at? Have they, you know, wanted him maybe to slim down a little bit? I really don't know. So it'll be interesting to see how the staff views him. I'd ask you, of those guys, of that group of guys, and Morgan Ellison and Craig Nelson, we'll talk about them in, you know, greater context of this running back battle. And I do think that they both might factor in, but they won't be there until the fall. So of those guys behind Kamion, you know, which one or two are you most interested in seeing this spring, kind of how they're used or how they look or all of the above?
Well, I think all of them bring something different to the table. I think the most intriguing might be Tyler Nitti, because you really have no idea how they're going to use them, especially with, you know, the bacon and legs package not being back. Is he going to be a traditional big back? Are they going to use him in a wildcat? You know, there's different ways to use him. And then, you know, just to see if Cole Guest shows the same explosiveness that he has in the past, and then just see if these other guys could stay healthy with Mike Majette and Devontae Williams. It just seems like every time they start to get going and looking good, they get tripped up with an ankle injury. Let's focus. We're going to talk about next is the offensive line. We're going to bring in David Sugarman, who writes for Hoosier Huddle, to talk about the offensive line. And, you know, you can't have a running game without a good offensive line. So, David, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Sammy. Thanks for having me on, man.
So, David, coming into spring practice, there's going to be some new faces on the defensive or on the offensive line. You know, without Dan Feeney there, without Demetri Camille, Wes Rogers, Jacob Bailey have all played a lot of football for IU. So, who needs to step up on this offensive line for them to be or to continue on the tradition that Greg Frey had brought to Indiana with these guys?
Yeah, you mentioned all those names, you know, leaving. It's a really, I think, difficult might be the wrong word, but interesting time of transition because there's really no stability either in the offensive line or in the coaching staff with Coach Frey going and McCullough going to USC and all these things going on. And the guys, I think, who are going to need to step up the most are the guys who have the most experience, even if that's not a lot. You look at a guy like Coy Cronk, who was a little up and down last year, but I think for a freshman, especially a guy who stepped in for a lot of injured players, played really, really well. Wes Martin, who became a regular starter last year and had played some in the past. So I think those are probably the most experienced guys, along with Brandon Knight, along the offensive line. Frankly, at center, I know we have Simon Stepanak as the starter right now. I think that's going to be a competition, frankly, not because Stepanak's a bad player, but you know what, he only started two games last year. I know he played in all 12, but I think just not a lot of experience. I think that position might be up for grabs. And you're going to see your first real taste of Hunter Littlejohn as well as right guard. So there's really, I mean, like we're seeing in the entire program right now, it's a big transitional period. And hopefully they can lean on a guy like Coy Cronk and Brandon Knight and these more experienced guys to show a little bit of leadership.
Right, and there's so much turnover, including the coaching staff, bringing in Darren Hiller. They're going to have to replace running backs coach Dylan McCullough. But, you know, have you had a chance to – look at some of the similarities between Hiller and Frey in terms of coaching philosophy on the offensive line, or is that something that, you know, we as a group are going to look at going in and coming out of spring practice?
Yeah, I don't know if you could say right now we would have a gauge of, you know, how similar the scheme will be from Frey to Hiller. I think you'll get a better idea of that going through spring practice, and then, of course, as we, you know, get into summer workouts and then, you know, headed into next season. And for me, I always think really good coaches, both head and position coaches, don't say, this is what I'm going to come in and this is my philosophy. They tailor it to what the skill set of the players are. And so it'll be interesting to see once these guys get more reps and Taylor gets a better feel for what these guys do well, what kind of philosophy he brings to the offense. And if that's different than Frey, that's different than Frey.
Adapting your system to fit the personnel, I'll be damned. How about that? Something that would be nice to see elsewhere within the athletic department. Anyway, cheap shots from me are done. Of the guys that we've yet to see, perhaps the one that I'm most intrigued by is McKenzie Nora, player from Texas that redshirted last year, because two things, I think. He was, you know, relatively raw coming in as a prospect, and number two, IU, you know, didn't have a need for him to play right away, so it was good he's able to redshirt. That's what you're looking for, especially at the offensive line. Do you think that there's a possibility that Mackenzie Nwora battles for a starting guard position, or do you think he's going to be used as, you know, more of a depth piece that stands behind particularly Hunter Littlejohn, Martin, and then I think those are probably the two you'd have there at guard ahead of him, or maybe mm-hmm. Brandon Knight kicks in, just a lot of options. But what do you think about Mackenzie Nwora and his ability to contribute in 2017 based on what little we know about him after his redshirt year?
Right. I mean, like you said, we don't know a ton about him now. He's a big guy at 6'4", 320, comes from high school, went to Kirk Martin High School, or excuse me, played for Kirk Martin at Manville High School in Texas. I guess, you know, when you look, I think there are some positions up for grabs. The only positions I think are probably set in stone are left tackle with Coy Kronk, right tackle and Brandon Knight, and probably left guard with Wes Martin. But I think those two positions that are up for grabs are center and right guard. You know, I don't know how much experience Nwora has playing at the center position. So I think at right guard, there's definitely a potential to have a competition there. Hunter Littlejohn, not a ton of experience. He only got in one game. It was the Rutgers game. They're pretty similar in size. Like I said, Nwora is 6'4", 320. Littlejohn is 6'3", 300. Maybe they'll both put on or take off some weight, depending what they want to do over the summer. So I think he has a chance to make an impact or compete for a starting job. And if it's going to be, it's probably going to be at that right guard spot.
Yeah. Are there any players that any players that maybe we have not mentioned yet along that offensive line that, you know, are kind of flying under the radar, but you think chance to kind of stand out this spring and be in line for more snaps than most would originally anticipate? And it's very hard to say. Nobody's going to hold your feet mm-hmm. to the fire on this, because one of the things that's so interesting is we have no clue how Darren Hiller sees these guys, and he might not know yet either. But if you were taking a guess on a, I guess, under the radar guy that we haven't mentioned yet, who would that be?
You know, without seeing much more of him than, you know, than his tape online, I kind of like Harry Crider, who's going to be a true freshman this year from Columbus, Indiana. He's a 3-star recruit.
Yep.
I think he was, if not the first, one of the first guys to commit to this class, and so and props to him for, you know, sticking it out even through all this transition. And I think it's a combination of I like what I saw on his tape a little bit, and I, you know, his high school coaches have had a lot of praise for him, both in terms of his play and his character. And frankly, like I said, the center position is really up for grabs. I think, you know, in our two deep, we almost put Stepniak there. I don't want to say by default, but because we didn't really have another center that we said that we've even seen, at least not in significant time. So I think that position is frankly really up for grabs. I like what I saw out of him. And so I think he has a chance to compete and maybe even win that starting job.
Right. And David, let's move on to the other preview you wrote was wide receivers. This is going to be a strength mm-hmm. position for IU going into 2017. We'll see Simi Cobbs coming back from injury, and I know everybody wants to see if he could come back and play like he did in 2015. You have Nick Westbrook back as well. Some questions are who's going to play in the slot. Is Jayshon Harris going to be, you know, close to 100% back? What is he going to bring you? And then just how these redshirt freshmen are going to perform as well in Jonah Morris, Taysir Mack. I have Jess Berry as well, who even as a walk-on should be highly regarded. He has made some big plays in practice as well. So what are your initial thoughts going in for the wide receiver group into spring practice?
Well, I think at the top, and let's cross our fingers and knock on wood and assume, you know, be safe and assume that Simi Cobbs will be 100%, that those first two wide receivers, Westbrook and Cobbs, you probably put Cobbs at one if he's healthy, but essentially one and 1A are going to be really, really scary, and particularly with the size. I mean, Westbrook's 6'3", and Cobbs is 6'4". And I think that's really going to help, especially if the quarterback is still Richard Leggo. Not to dissect his game too much, but frankly, he's not the most accurate quarterback. And these are both guys, if you throw it in the general vicinity, they've got a chance to really just go up and snatch it out of the air. So I think that's advantageous for any quarterback, but particularly one who struggled with his accuracy a little bit this past season. I think, you know, so both their size on the outside is going to be really big. You know, Westbrook, you know, and I touched on this in my preview, kind of came out of nowhere. Maybe he still would have had a solid season, but the chances wouldn't have been as plentiful had Cobb not gone out. So maybe a blessing in disguise. I mean, he had 995 yards this season, and that was with one really bad game against Nebraska where he didn't catch a pass. So if he has a halfway decent game there, just, you know, one less drop here or there, and he has over 1,000 yards. And then the year before, Cobbs went for over 1,000 yards, and he wasn't the most shorthanded guy. So you're looking at potentially two guys, if the ball is spread around nicely, I think, you know, could both get close to, you know, or even over 1,000 yards. I think where Indiana may run into trouble, I just don't know how deep they are. I mean, you look in the slot last year, in the last couple of years, you had Mitchell Page, who is just so versatile. I mean, he was good, it seemed like, every single game for 7-8 catches, you know, as well as he would throw to him on some end arounds. And we saw this year a few times they would they'd let him even throw the ball. And I don't think you get that quite the same versatility in the offense. Although Luke Timian had a solid year last year, had 21 catches, and I'll see the field a little bit more. And then after Timian, like I said, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a crapshoot. I mean, Donovan, you know, not because of a lack of talent, but just a lack of, you know, a lack of playing time and experience and improving. You know, then you have Donovan Hale, who I guess would I would say is the leader of the reserves. And then after that, you touched on a few guys like Tazier Mack or Jonah Morris. And we'll see what these guys are made of. I think, you know, right now the question, I think Indiana is very top-heavy at wide receivers, and I think it's going to be a big strength for this team. Whether it's Leggo or somebody else who's tossing the ball, obviously that's a big decision to be made. But my big question going into next season is the depth. So if there are injuries or a day where Westbrook or Cobbs is locked up, where do they go from there? I know Kameon Patrick's likely going to be the number one back, but he was split out at wide receiver some last year and had some success. I wonder if they play with that at all this year as well.
Yeah, that would definitely be interesting, especially with the depth they have at running back, is if you see Kameon play a little bit wide receiver to take off a little bit of the pounding on that knee and put somebody else at running back. But thank you, David, and we look forward to seeing more of your coverage throughout spring practice.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Fun time, guys.
Yep. Thank you, David.
Thanks.
Yeah, Sammy, one of the things that I think is the biggest battle for that wide receiver group, as David mentioned, I think it'll be something that is one of the easier positions to kind of gauge how guys look, not by stats, but just kind of how they look, their explosion, their route running, their hands. I think it'll be very interesting to watch that second group of wide receivers. I do think there's four or five guys that are very capable and talented, and I think that they will really be battling Banker, Mack, Morris, Donovan Hale. I think that group is going to really have a tough battle on their hands with each other, competing for snaps behind, like you said, a tremendous top duo. And then, you know, I think another thing to watch for is Jayshon Harris. How much is he able to do in the spring? How does he look coming back from another really devastating knee injury that you just hope he's able to get back and be able to play football? Not for IU's sake, although it would be great if he did, but just for Jayshon Harris' sake, cause it sucks to have a guy have to miss 2 years.
Yeah, and before we go on, you know, this is a big time for these redshirt freshmen, and we'll talk a little bit about with our next guest, Alex Thompson. This is a big time with the receivers IU has brought in with the 2017 class. This is this is the spring practice where these redshirt freshmen have to get a leg up on those guys incoming in the fall. So right now we're going to bring in Alex Compton. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you got it, guys. Looking forward to it.
All right. Alex, you wrote about the redshirt freshmen coming in, guys who kind of get lost in the shuffle a little bit with true freshmen who played during the season, and you really don't hear their names. But who are a couple redshirt freshmen who you're going to keep your eye on this spring?
Yeah, I think, like I touched on in my piece last week, this was a very deep class of redshirts, and I think one that is going to have a huge impact on the season. Two guys in my mind that stick out. The first one's Cole Guest. I think he's a little different from the other redshirts in that he actually played in some of the games last season. Played in about four games, I think. Before
he played in three. Well,
the first three games.
FIU,
yeah, first three.
Ball State, and got hurt about halfway through Wake Forest.
Yeah, so first three games, I would say coming back in this running back group, he is the fastest of the backs. He has that kind of home run ability, that ability to stretch the ball on the outside and possibly take one of the house. That was something IU was missing last season, and I think you could tell that. Some of the games against those defenses that are really keen on stopping the run, you kind of need that change of pace back. IU was missing that last season. I think Guest could factor in as possibly even the backup running back behind Patrick. And like we talked about in our special teams piece, he could return kicks as well. So that's kind of my first guy I think we can really keep an eye on. And then flipping over to the receivers, David just talked about him a little bit. But that's Jonah Morris. I think, like he kind of talked about, Westbrook and Cobbs, those are your known commodities. I think Timian is a very serviceable, a very solid slot receiver. And then I think in those four and possibly even five wide receiver sets, we're going to need another guy like Morris to stretch the field. He was the highest-rated prospect from last year's class, but due to the depth, obviously, of the receiving core, a redshirt made sense. 6'4", 200 pounds, blazing speed, came in as a four-star, 18th best athlete in the class. I mean, he's a guy that can make plays. Early in the season, if he kind of establishes himself, I think he could become kind of a known commodity. He could be kind of a first-team guy. And I think even with his versatility, if IU wanted to play him in the slot a little bit, that could even happen. So those are my two guys, both on offense. I think they do both fill needs, and I think hopefully sooner rather than later, Hoosier fans know them for their play on the field.
Awesome. And let's switch gears to defense right now. Alex, you're going to be writing about the corners here this week. Indiana got a big boost in getting Rashard Fant back for fifth year. He was outstanding last season. You expect his growth to continue into this year and have him lock down one side of the field. A'shaun Riggins is back. You expect him to start as well at the other side. And then after that, things get a little hairy and a little foggy on who's going to play at corners. But what is the corner situation to you?
Yeah, so like you said, getting Fant back, I mean, you could argue that Oliver declaring early for the draft, that's going to hurt, but you could argue that Fant deciding to come back is more important. He gives Tom Allen just the luxury of just throwing him out on the side of the field, and you don't have to worry about him. He can go one-on-one with pretty much every receiver in the country. He is currently the NCAA's active leader with 48 pass defenses, which is huge. He's led the Big Ten the last two seasons. He's IU's all-time leader in pass defenses and breakups. I mean, him coming back is huge. And like you said, A'shaun Riggins turned a lot of heads as a true freshman last year, played in 12 games, made 8 starts. You'll remember his big hit on Ball State quarterback Riley Neal that forced the fumble. You'll remember his pick against Ohio State. He was actually second in the team in pass breakups with 9 last year. 37 tackles, which is something you like. He's much more physical than Stant. I would say he showed lots of flashes. He did make those classic true freshman mistakes. But I think he showed a lot of promise, and he should have the starting spot, and opposite of Stant, that will be his to lose. But behind them, kind of like you said, we don't really know what we're going to get. We know we have Tyler Green. Tyler Green was a guy that came in, former Ohio State commit, came in as a 4-star. He was one of our better recruits. He played spotty as a freshman. I mean, not what you would like to see. Didn't live up to the hype. But last year, he really showed improvement. He played in 11 games. Actually made a start in the Foster Farm Bowl where he had 7 tackles and a forced fumble. He played better as the season went on, which is what you want to see. Very rangy, 6'3", tough to throw the ball at. So him taking a step forward last year is awesome for this defense. And he's going to kind of mix in with Riggins and provide a really good option. A couple of interesting guys to keep an eye on. The guy I touched on in the red shirt piece is Andre Brown Jr. He's a guy that played as a true freshman back in 2015, started 8 games and played in 9 games total. He missed the last 3 games due to an injury, but in those games he had 35 tackles, fumble recovery, and 4 breakups. He is probably the most physical corner out of the entire group. He's going to end up seeing snaps if he can stay on the field. He's battled injuries since he's been at IU, so if he can stay healthy, you've got to figure there are snaps. Behind Brown, you got Wesley Green, who transferred from South Carolina. I know a lot of fans are really excited about that. Highly rated 4-star. Didn't see any action at South Carolina, then decided to transfer to IU. He was rated as the number 120 overall recruit. So it was surprising that he only saw action in 2 games last year, minimal snaps, but we've heard good things about him in practice. He was scout team player of the week in Michigan last year. He's a guy that if he plays well, he could essentially push for the starting spot next to Stant as Tyler Green. But we just don't know much about him at this point because he's played, maybe 10 snaps total in his career. So then you keep moving down. You got 2 freshmen coming in that are interesting. We think one of them has a shot at playing. Which one it is yet at this point is to be determined. But you got Raheem Lane. You got LaDamian Hunt. Both good guys. Raheem Lane, former Minnesota commit, decided to pull that off when they transitioned to P.J. Fleck. Great ball skills, great instincts, roaming the sideline. He's the best.
He's very fast as well.
Yeah, he's extremely fast. We think he's the best athlete out of the group. He could actually see some time returning punts and kickoffs due to how athletic he is. And then the other freshman was Damian Hunt. Super long, super quick as well. Probably the most instinctive out of the group. He's the most likely to take a chance on jumping a route, things like that. He is kind of eager and overplays the ball sometimes, but Tom Allen likes playmakers, so that's why Hunt figures to fit in. They're actually rated 1 spot differently for the cornerback position. I think Lane will be the one avoiding the red shirt just due to his special teams ability to return punts, things like that. But your freshman, intriguing and has some depth as well.
Right, great stuff. And Alex will get into more detail with it in his corners preview. TJ, any other questions for Alex?
No, I think that covers it very well. Just one more guy that we'll see the field in a variety of capacities. We'll talk about him some of the safeties. I think he might play some corner, play on special teams. On the coverage units, Ben Bach, just a reliable, versatile veteran that will probably see the field, spot duty in multiple different places. But I think Alex covered everything that could happen. A lot of unknowns after I think those top 3, Tyler Green, Riggins, and Fant. you know, after those top three, it's going to be a real battle.
All right. Thanks, Alex, for joining us. And we look forward to reading the rest of your previews and whatever you have to say for spring practice. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Hoping spring ball.
All right, TJ, let's move back to the offensive side of the ball. We've got two positions left, tight end and quarterback. I think let's start with quarterback. It's where the biggest question mark is, and I think the biggest concern is, I wouldn't say it's the biggest question mark, I think it's pretty much straightforward right now, but the biggest concern is Richard Lego last year, he threw for 3,300 yards plus, 19 touchdowns, but had 17 interceptions, threw for under 60% completion percentage, and with his performance in the Foster Farms Bowl, kind of left the door open to an open competition, and that door was busted open with the turnover on the offensive staff. It's a new system, new scheme, new coaches. Everybody's going to probably start at the same level, but Lego started 13 games last year. He has the most experience. Other than Danny Cameron, nobody else has taken a snap at the collegiate level, so I think that kind of puts Lego ahead of the pack a little bit. We'll see where it goes from there, but he's got to be more consistent with completing his passes. He throws his interceptions in bunches, and you know, when he's throwing the ball under 30 times a game, he does well, and when he throws it to those underneath receivers and they set up those bigger pass plays, he does much better than trying to just chuck it deep and hope for the best. He does throw a good deep ball, but there are too many times where he takes two high-risk chances that end up in either pass deflections or interceptions. It just seems like last year every pass that got tipped got picked, and I'm interested to see when Bill Connolly comes out with his turnover luck margin on IU, where they stand on there, because they had zero luck in those tip passes. I mean, against Northwestern, a Northwestern safety with one hand and a cast club on the other made a ridiculous leap and grab. So that's the kind of year that Richard Lego has, but I think he has the tools to be really good. And then the competition for number two behind him is going to fall to Austin King, Peyton Ramsey, and Danny Cameron. Those three guys are the quarterbacks in for spring. Nick Tronti, there's been a buzz about him since he committed, won't be in until fall camp, which hinders his ability to jump the rest of the guys and make a play for that starting position. But for the guys on campus this spring, let's start with if you have anything to add on Richard Lego, let's start there. If not, let's go to Austin King.
No, I think you nailed it on Lego. You know, we've analyzed his play. Everyone knows what the issue was last year. For him, it's just going to be about grasping what it is that the new offensive staff wants from him. It's going to be about limiting those turnovers and costly inconsistency mistakes. And really, the spring's just going to be about showing it, you know, showing that you're capable of leading this offense to where it wants to go. Austin King, I don't think that the hire of Mike DeBoard, if them that we expect him to employ, if they go with that, I don't think that hiring helps Austin King very much. He's a little – I mean, he's more of a runner than – or more of a mobile threat than Lego is, but certainly less than Peyton Ramsey or Nick Tronti. And you know, Tom Allen has spoken about it, Mike DeBoard has spoken about it. They want for the defense to have to account for a quarterback's playmaking ability with his legs. That doesn't mean that they want just a scrambler out there, but it needs to be someone that's really mobile. And Austin King doesn't figure to fit that. He does have very good arm talent, which is a weird phrase, but it basically just means he can make the throws. Very strong arm. I believe they call it
the technical term, TJ, is he's able to sling it around the yard.
Yes, he can sling it around the yard. I think what's going to be important for Austin King, if he's going to challenge for the starting job, he's going to have to do so with pinpoint accuracy. And it's going to have to be consistent accuracy. Because I do think he has the arm strength to challenge Lego if he can greatly exceed him in the understanding of the offense, because it is a new offense, and if he'd be more accurate than Lego is. I think that those two things are what you're looking for. The same thing with Ramsey, but we give him the nod when we're projecting who's going to be that number two, strictly because of his mobility that – he just has more of an element of that playmaking ability with the legs and being mobile in the pocket than either Lego or Austin King have. So that's kind of the thing with Ramsey. Probably less strictly throwing talent than Lego or King, but more well-rounded, if you will, when you factor in the run and mobility. So that's going to be interesting, is how the coaches view Peyton Ramsey's fit in the offense, and if that deems to be enough to really challenge for that starting job, or if it's enough to slot him comfortably in the number two.
Yeah, and I think one of the big decision factors going into it is that IU does not, they're not taking the walk-in entrance into the pool. They're diving off the top, 30-meter high dive into the deep end. They open up with Ohio State, then they go on the road to another Power 5 game at Virginia. So, I think that gives Lego the upper hand, too, in experience. It's hard to believe, unless King or Ramsey or Tronte lights the world on fire in spring and fall camps, that you can't throw a guy with zero collegiate experience out there against what is probably a top five team in Ohio State, and then on the road against an ACC team in Virginia. It would have been nice to start, if they started the season, against a Georgia Southern or against FIU, or back in the day against a 1AA team, where you could potentially run up the score and start substituting and using your backups and getting them experience. And that's something that, during the Kevin Wilson era, never really happened, is that they never got these guys experience in the backup role, whether that was because they just didn't blow out opponents or the staff just wasn't comfortable putting guys in those situations. They just have no experience. So they might have depth talent-wise, but experience-wise, this team is as thin as it gets with Lego with 13 games started. And then outside of him, just one game in Danny Cameron, who is probably not going to factor into the quarterback race in terms of being a threat to take over the starting position. So you could call it what it is. It is going to be an open – if Lego comes out in spring practice and is throwing balls high and low and throwing picks, IU might be in trouble. But it seems like, as he's on social media, it's his mission to turn it around. He's putting in the work, and he does have the talent to do that. So that's, he has the upper hand, and we'll see where they go. But one weapon that IU could start to see more use out of, TJ, and it could help the quarterbacks a lot, is the tight end. Now, as I was writing the tight ends preview, I knew we didn't use them a lot last year. Everybody was complaining about it, and rightfully so. But they had 10 catches all year, 10. And that was that's it?
Yep.
Is 10? I knew it was low. I didn't think it was that low. But Mike DeBoer's coming in. He likes to use his tight ends. At Tennessee, their tight ends last year, I believe, had somewhere around 45 combined catches. And they're going to be used. I use didn't use them because of a lack of talent. They have some talented guys there. But let's start with Danny Friend, the most known commodity that IU has. He has had an injury-plagued career at IU. He finally stayed healthy all year last year. It's great to see. And we'll see what he could do in this offense in spring ball. Is he, you know, are they going to use him in the passing game, or are they going to play much more to his strength and let him go out there and pave the way for Cameon Patrick? So I feel like Friend is a known commodity. Behind him, there are a few question marks that we'd like to see step up. The first guy is Ian Thomas, a JUCO transfer who came in before last year from Nassau Community College. He had 3 catches last year. Friend had the other 7, so there are your 10. He's a dynamic tight end. He can catch the ball. He can block and should be a good weapon either as an outlet or as a guy who can stretch the field a little bit up the middle for these quarterbacks. Do you have anything to add on Ian Thomas?
No. No, I think you got it on him. He appears to be a very fluid athlete. It's hard to tell because they were utilized so little, but I mean, he definitely looks like a fluid athlete moving out there that I would think could be a guy that, you know, you use on some intermediate routes, or maybe you sprinkle in some of the wheel routes that we saw with Danny Friend use successfully to get Ian Thomas open, but I wouldn't mind seeing him, get more of a chance to utilize his athleticism. I think that'd be a good idea. Austin Doris, same thing. He appears to be the heir apparent to Danny Friend, continuing to bulk up and develop physically as a blocker, which is equal parts, physical and just your mental disposition and your willingness to be that nasty blocker at the tight end position that, you know, doesn't get the glory, but is utilized, you know, as kind of a mobile offensive lineman, really, that occasionally gets the ball tossed his way. And Austin Doris appears to be kind of an heir apparent to that. I think the unknown of the group is going to be Sean Bonner. Don't know what we have with him. He came in as a somewhat lightly regarded recruit, but big, big guy that if he has, you know, the want to be a good blocker and some mobility, he could develop into a good weapon as well. It's a good group. I mean, we know it's a group with talent. They just have to be utilized.
Yeah, and to go back to Austin Doris, he's a guy who, you know, is kind of in the same mold as Danny Friend, maybe a little bit more athletic, played quarterback in high school.
Yeah.
You start salivating over the ball skills that these guys can have and just the potential. And if they end up throwing it to the tight ends, 100 times and they make 10 catches, then, maybe the talent wasn't there. But I think the talent is there. We'll see what they do. Sean Bonner might have played last year. He got hurt, I believe, in fall camp and then redshirted.
Yeah.
But it's not for a lack of talent. And then, we'll see in fall camp if Peyton Hendershot is one of those guys who, in high school he made some outstanding plays. Is he a guy who could crack that rotation as well? And then you have Ryan Watercutter there as well, who's a former linebacker who's transitioned to tight end, and he's actually really surprised people with his set of hands. You'd figure a former linebacker would have hands of stone and it'd be just used much like a fullback in the blocking game, but he has shown that he could catch the ball, and maybe he's a guy who can make an impact on special teams. And if these other guys in front of him either don't stay healthy or don't perform well, he's a guy who might be able to see catch a ball or two during the season as well. Let's get back over to the defensive side. Let's talk about the defensive line a little bit. A lot of familiar faces are back. The IU loses two guys in Ralph Green and Patrick Dougherty, who went through senior ceremonies. But we'll see, you know, you have Juan Harris in for the spring. Jerome Johnson is coming back as a redshirt freshman. TJ, what do you need to see out of the defensive line this spring?
Well, I think you'd like to see, number one, which of those two guys, Juan Harris or Jerome Johnson, or ideally both, are able to step up and make a claim as a starting defensive tackle next to Nate Hoff. You know, we know that Nate Hoff's going to be up there as a starter. He needs a partner, and, you know, multiple guys are going to have to fill in. They want a deeper rotation. So that's what's about for this defensive line. It's just developing that deeper rotation and figuring out who that primary partner is going to be for Nate Hoff. You know, right now we have projected at Jerome Johnson. It would not be a surprise to see it be Juan Harris. Hopefully that's a battle where both guys step up and earn significant snaps. Indiana needs another space eater in the middle of that defensive line to help defend against the physical offenses they go against in the Big Ten East. And then I think the second thing you're looking for is the pass rush. You need to develop a couple of, you know, consistent pass rushers, guys that can just you know, wreck games for the opposition by making those plays like strip sacks or, you know, third down and eight and, you know,
pressure the guy
drops
ball
back or Barrett drops back and, you know, you get back there and instead of being close to making the play, you make the play. They were so close so many times to getting a guy down. And they actually, you know, the pass rush was much better than we anticipated it was going to be. But just continuing to develop with guys like Stringer, Robinson, you know, they have a couple of players coming in that you think could develop into elite pass rushers. They won't be there, but Alan Stallings, a guy that we were really high on going into last season, you know, there's a lot of options. It's just a matter of developing that, you know, 9-10 man rotation. I think that we feel really good right now about probably 6 or 7. So rounding out that rotation with another few reliable contributors is what this spring is going to be about for the line.
Yeah, definitely. And then you have depth guys, Mike Barwick. He looked good in the weight
right.
room the other day, and he had a nice 2016 season as well, and you just hope guys stay healthy and they could have a nice stable on defensive line where you could rotate guys in and out. You know, very rarely do defensive linemen play the entire game, so you're going to need 8 to 10 guys to play in a rotation up there. Let's quickly go to linebackers. It's Tigray Scales is back, All-American. IU is probably thanking their lucky stars. He is back. Especially with the loss of Marcus Oliver, who they're going to have to replace. Replacing him there are probably either going to be Mike McGinnis, who's in for spring, or Damian Willis, who's been on the roster for a couple years now. Both of them are bigger linebackers, would be good in run support. McGinnis is a junior college All-American. And then Damian Willis had an outstanding season in a reserve role last year. You also have Chris Covington coming back, who could be a spot start, you know, opposite. He might just back up Tigray Scales, but against certain teams like a Georgia Southern who runs the triple option, could see some time starting as well, depending on the matchup. So I think the linebacking core is pretty solid. Your thoughts quickly, TJ?
Yeah, Tigray Scales, obviously he's one of the best linebackers in the country. It was an absolutely massive addition that he decided to come back. I love watching him play. He's improved so much. He came in good, and he's gotten so much better. I think that you're right. I think Mike McGuinness and Damian Willis, the two most likely guys, they're going to battle it out to start next to him. And then Chris Covington, I've been impressed by him when he has played. He's a guy that I think really has developed a lot. He's had kind of an interesting career. He's played all over the place, but I think he's found a home as a good depth linebacker. And then Raekwon Jones is just maybe a step below those four guys. I think it's going to be those four as the primary, then Raekwon Jones. Then you have Thomas Allen, who will be in spring. He's likely a redshirt, I would say, barring an injury to somebody ahead of him. And then Mo Burnham coming in the fall. So it's a good group that, you know, I think you're looking for those front four to be your stalwarts in the middle of the defense. And that's a pretty good four to have.
Yep, and then rounding it out on defense, TJ, you're written about the safeties. Your article's coming out tomorrow. We've included the Husky in the safety position. This might be IU's strongest overall position on the field on defense. Tigre Scales is clearly their best player on defense, but the overall talent in, at the safeties position in Husky is outstanding. You have Jonathan Crawford, Tony Fields is back, and Marcelino is back. You also have Chase Dutcher as a depth piece. And who else do you see there factoring in the safety position?
Yeah, the front four that you mentioned are going to be the guys that see the most time. Jonathan Crawford, obviously, is going to be the stalwart playmaking safety. Marcelino Ball was so impressive as the freshman Husky. He's so young, but you wouldn't know it by looking at him. He got lost a few times in coverage, but overall, outstanding debut season for him, and you just expect him to continue to grow and be just an outstanding enforcer for this defense. And then Tony Fields, I don't think most people realize he started 13 games for the Hoosiers, and I thought it was very impressive back there as a partner for Crawford. Chase Dutra, very valuable. You know, I don't want to call him a role player, but very valuable contributor as a depth piece. He can fill in if Crawford, you know, steps out for a play. He can fill in for Fields. He can fill in on, you know, if you want to change up the formation to go with an additional safety out there.
He
can do
he
that.
He also played very well on special teams as well. He blocked that kick against Nebraska and made several big tackles in the punt game in the bowl game against Utah, where it looked as if they could have had big returns. And we'll get to special teams here in a second.
At Husky, you're looking at Zeke Walker as the primary backup to Marcelino Ball. As I said earlier, Ben Box could factor in, you know, in some pass-heavy formations. He could factor in as another DB out there. And then, you know, other guys, Keontae Walton, Jamie Thompson, Jameel Cook, players that they're probably going to be more special teams contributors than anything. They'll have a chance in the spring to step up, and they'll have to if they want any playing time at all outside of special teams because of the addition of Juwan Burgess, who will be there in the fall. He's going to be playing at safety, outstanding addition for this program, and then Brian Fitzgerald from Avon looks likely to be factor in the Husky rotation. He could also be a safety, but I think they're going to look initially at Husky for him. So, like you said, an outstanding group of safeties. It's a deep group that's, you know, very good at the top, as well as some proven players that are backing up. I mean, if you have Chase Dutra as a senior being a reliable backup for you, that is a tremendous group.
Yep. And quickly, let's touch upon special teams before we run out of time. There's going to be a lot of competition here. It's an area where Tom Allen has emphasized performance. IU has been awful since 2012 in kick return. Look for an open competition there. You're going to have Cole Guest, Devontae Williams, Mike Majette. All kinds of guys back there. I don't think you see Jayshon Harris back there coming off of two knee surgeries. Punt returner, you have to replace Mitchell Page, but it looks like Rashard Fant. If they're willing to take that risk, Rashard Fant is a good answer there. At punter, you have no idea what I have no idea what's going to happen. IU brought in Hayden Whitehead from Australia to compete for the job. He's, you know, he's on scholarship, so he's going to get a shot over Joseph Gideon. And then you have to think that Griffin Oaks is going to be focused on turning it around. So if we have our special teams preview out on the site at HoosierHuddle.com. But, TJ, we are out of time, and you know, we'll talk again as spring practice, as more develops in spring practice. We'll be down in Bloomington on Thursday for workouts, and then I believe later in the week, next week, for practice as well. So, TJ, yep. Thanks for joining us. I also want to thank all our guests for coming on as well. So thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great week, and enjoy our spring coverage, everybody. We are looking forward to bringing it to you.
All right, that does it for this edition of the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Spring practice starts on March 4th. Today is March. Please check out HoosierHuddle.com for all your spring football needs for IU. Check out our support page as well. We're doing tremendously well on our GoFundMe and our Amazon ads. So I want to thank Hoosier Nation for stepping up there. We appreciate your donations. I know the rest of the writers do as well. So thank you. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle, and we will speak with you next week.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. But Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey, and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.